friend, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I want to do this. We're doing good on time, and I don't want to make it last long, but I do want to give you an opportunity. Pastor does that a lot on Sunday nights. If there's anybody that would like to testify about that faithful friend, something God's done in your life, and God's just showed himself faithful, and I'm sure we all, if we wanted to, could stand up and talk about it, but you just got something you really would like to share about how God's been faithful to you recently, I want to give you that opportunity. And if there is no one, we'll move on with the service, but I just want to give that opportunity. If there's anybody that would like to testify tonight about the Lord and his faithfulness, amen. I was just trying to get y'all, you know, everybody smiling and laughing at me. I thought maybe we could get it more serious here. It might be the background. You reckon that's what it is? I mean, it's probably having a hard time taking anybody serious standing in front of this scenery, right? You just got to put a smile on your face. I'm sure there's people that are tuning in through live stream that didn't catch the announcement this morning thinking, what in the world is going on in that church, right? I was just preaching about worldliness a couple weeks ago out of the Sermon on the Mount, and here we are, amen? But anyway, well, we'll move on with the service. We're going to be in Matthew chapter number 7. As most of you know, Pastor is out of town. He's not sick. If you were not in here this morning when he made the announcement, he's gone to the BIMI Board of Directors, I guess, meeting is what they call it, and it's in Tennessee. And so last year he waited till after Sunday night to leave for it, and I think they had to almost drive through the night, and so they wanted to leave after church this morning. They're going to try to stop somewhere this evening, a little over halfway or something, and then head the rest of the way. And so you pray for Pastor while he's gone. I think it's a honor and a privilege that our pastor's sitting on the board of BIMI, and I think it's just I think that BIMI is privileged to have him on the board, and I mean that, but I also think it's a privilege for our church to have representation on a board such as BIMI. It's been around a long time and done a lot of great things, and there's great men, great preachers that are part of that board. And so just pray for Pastor, if you would, this week, that he'd just have a great week and safe travels as he comes back on Thursday. All right, we're in Matthew chapter number 7, and this morning when Pastor began his message, I was a little concerned because of the content. I looked at Meredith and I said, I might have changed my message. He started reading some of the text, and as you could tell tonight, I'm talking about false prophets. In verse number 15, Jesus said, beware of false prophets. And Pastor was using some of the verses that I may even mention tonight in the introduction to his message. But I think it's actually not going to, I think it's going to just go along right with what Pastor was preaching, hopefully, tonight. I want to do something. This is a little weird, but I do a lot of weird things, and so maybe Pastor's watching. We get in trouble, Brother Brian. Well, they say, why the pastor's away, the children will play, right? I'm just playing. Does anybody in here, we're going to talk about wolves tonight. I heard a message. Okay, I need to turn my thing on. See, I'm following right in the footsteps. Amen. It worked for him. Y'all laughed when he done it this morning. Y'all didn't laugh when I done it, right? I heard a message years ago. I'm talking probably 16, 17, maybe even 18 years ago. It was right after I got saved. And a man was preaching a text. Some of you probably heard this message. He was preaching out of a text along wolves. I don't know if it was this one or a different text on wolves. And every time he mentioned the word wolf or wolves, somebody in the auditorium, it might have been the pastor himself, would howl like a wolf. Mariah said, no, please don't do it. Is there any wolves in this building tonight? Is there anybody that can make a wolf sound? I just knew Brother Brian was going to do it. Can you make a wolf sound? I want to hear a good wolf sound. Alan can. We don't got no wolves in the house. I just knew somebody would give me a good, hearty wolf sound, a howl like a wolf, right? Only sheep here. No, no. I was trying to set y'all up. Somebody said this is a setup. That was a good one right there. Only sheep here, right? I'm the preacher. I've got to be the wolf, right? That's what we're talking about. The false prophets, right? And so I'll do the wolf sound. No, my daughter just looked at me. If y'all could have seen the look on Leah's face, please don't. I actually walked around doing a wolf sound there for a little bit at our house, and I'm so tempted to do it, but I won't. Do it. How was that? A wolf? I think if I practice, it was an eight. That's an eight. Okay. I think if I practice, you got to carry out that first part a little longer. You got, ah, ooh!
Yeah, there you go. What is it? I hope Pastor ain't watching. Amen. Pastor, if you're watching, we love you. I love you. So we're going to look at wolves tonight. It's good to laugh. I'm glad you're laughing and not at me. Well, you are laughing at me. Now at least I know you're laughing at me. Before, I had no idea what you were laughing at. I wondered if you were laughing at me. Now I know you're laughing at me, so I feel much better about it, okay? But anyway, we're going to look at the Sermon on the Mount. We'll get into it, okay? I'm just going to jump right in. If you'll recall last week, we began to look at what I'm calling the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. I believe Jesus is coming to the close of his message, and he's beginning to bring it all to an end. And in verse number, we looked at last week, verse number 13, he began those twos. And I mentioned them to you. I won't do it again this week. But as I can count, there's 10 twos in verses 13 down through verse number 27. There's two types of people, two types of, and I won't go through them all again. But you, hopefully you were here and you remember that Jesus is kind of comparing two different types of people. And in last week's message, I said it's decision time. And really, I believe that that's what's happening here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is bringing the message to a close, and he's basically saying it's decision time, and there's only two choices. And that's really all there is in life. At the end of the day, there's two choices. Heaven or hell, right? There's eternity or earth. But you can't ride the fence, right? You're either going to get saved or you're lost. The Bible's very clear. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither Greek nor barbarian. It's not rich or poor. It's not male or female. It doesn't matter your nationality. It doesn't matter your social status. None of that matters. At the end of the day, all that matters is two things, or really one thing. Are you saved or are you not? And I believe that that's what Jesus is presenting here. I believe he's bringing this message to a close, and he's letting these people know there's two ways, right? There's two types of people. There's two trees. There's two foundations. There's two professions. He goes into all these twos, and he says, you got to choose. Which one will you choose? It's decision time. And as we looked at that last week, we talked about the decision was my first point last week. And then we looked at the differences between the straight and the broad, or the narrow and the broad way. And then we looked at the destination. And tonight, I want us to look at this. I believe Jesus goes from those things to danger. As he's closing out this message, he talks about the destination, right? In verse number 14, he says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So there's two ways. You can go to destruction or you can go to life. And he says, so there's two destinations. And then after he talks about those two destinations, he begins to talk about danger. And I think he talks about two dangers. And I'm going to look at one of them this week, and Lord willing, we'll look at the other next week. The first danger that we're going to look at tonight is the danger of false prophets. The danger of false prophets. I think next week, Lord willing, we'll discuss the danger of false professions. And you'll see that in verse number 21 down through verse number 23, really down through the end of the message. But tonight, we're going to look at the danger of false prophets. Verse 15 says, beware. Beware. I don't know about you, but when I see the word beware, I think of danger. Am I the only one? I can remember in years past, and when we would do a lot of door knocking, and that's a shame. I ought to do more now than I do, but we used to do a lot of door knocking. We'd take our teenagers out knocking doors, and I can remember sometimes walking up to a fence, and there'd be a fence, and on the fence there'd be a sign that would say, beware of dogs. And I don't know about you. Some people just don't have no fear of dogs. And I'm not like just feared, like, I mean, I don't know, horrified of dogs, but depending on how big the dog is, you know, I'm not trying to fight with one, okay? So I remember as I would enter sometimes into that gate, that narrow gate with the beware sign, you kind of realize there's danger, right? And you're looking around, you're looking for signs. Is there a dog? Is there barking? Is there any evidence that a dog might come, right? And so when Jesus begins this part of the message about the danger of false prophets, he begins with a warning, and he says, beware. He says, there's danger here. I not too long ago, I saw a snake. How many of you like snakes? Okay. I'm concerned about them. I've got my eye on you now. Okay, got my eye on you. I'm just trying to figure out who I got to keep my eye on. Anybody else I need to keep my eye on? Okay, I've already had my eye on you. All right, so, okay, yep, all right, good. I know who to watch out for. I can't stand a snake, right? And I seen a snake, and it was in a flower bed, and it was kind of slithering through the flowers. And now every time I walk by a flower bed, I'm kind of on my tiptoes. You know, I'm just kind of looking, watching, aware, right? Beware. Right? And that's what that word, it means, beware. That word, beware, it literally means pay attention, be cautious, be on your toes. And that's what Jesus is saying to these people. He's saying, hey, be aware. There's danger, right? False prophets are around. They're lurking. And so Jesus tells these people, he warns them after he's talked to them about the destination, then he begins to talk about the danger of false prophets, and he says, be aware. And so the warning talks about awareness. It says, pay attention, be cautious, be on your toes. I think this is important today as it ever has been. Now, Jesus was speaking to these people, and he was telling them to beware of false prophets. But can I tell you, I believe Jesus would say to you and I today, beware of false prophets. Pay attention, because they're everywhere. Talks about the awareness, and not only talks about the awareness, it talks about the amount. Look at verse number 15 again. He says, beware of false, and look at this, prophets. Plural. Prophets. He says in verse number 15, he says, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening. Look at it, wolves. Plural. And then he goes on, and in verse number 16, he says, you shall know them by their fruits. Their, plural. There's lots of them. The amount of prophets, the amount of false teachers is it's a multitude of them. There's a lot of them. And as I said, if it was a concern in that day, can I tell you how much of a concern it is in our day with the internet? I don't know that there's ever been a time, even since I've been saved. I've been saved almost 20 years. And in the 20 years that I've been saved, I can remember when I first got saved, you didn't have the access to all the stuff that you have access to today. Most people, when I got saved, some I think may have had a smartphone. I don't even know. I had a flip phone. I don't even know if they had smartphones yet 20 years ago. But everybody had flip phones, right? And you didn't have the access that you have today to the internet, to YouTube, to Reels, to ways for false prophets to propagate their gospel. But now today, it's everywhere. They've got a platform. And if you think for one minute that those false prophets are not going to use their platform, you better beware. You better pay attention. Pastor talked about it this morning. Not everyone that carries a Bible is a preacher. They might be a false prophet. And we got to be aware of that. We got to be careful who we get our information from. And so, I mean, the amount, so the awareness of false prophets, but then the amount of false prophets. 2 Peter 2:1 says this, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who shall privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Acts chapter 20, verse 29 says, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves. Some of y'all going to sleep. I thought that might wake you up. I should have caught a breath before I'd done it, right? He said, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. First John chapter 4, verse 1, he said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." And I could go on and on. Pastor quoted some verses this morning from 1 and 2 Corinthians, and it talks about them in Philippians. It talks about them in Galatians, all throughout the New Testament. There's talk of these false prophets, even in the book of Matthew, in chapter number 24, when Jesus is given that talking about the last days. You know what he says? He says there's going to come false Christs, and there's going to come false prophets, and they're going to deceive many. He says even if it were possible, they would deceive even the very elect. That's what Jesus said. And so don't think for one minute that they're not out there. Don't think for one minute that they're not still around. Actually, I think they're more around now than they've ever been. I think Pastor might have went to 1 Timothy chapter number 3 this morning. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3 where it talks about this. It says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And it goes on and he talks about, it goes down through those verses and it says that they shall having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. And so, it talks about, this verse I was looking for, if you go down through that chapter, chapter 3, it gets down there where it says that they'll be deceiving and being deceived. It'll wax worse and worse. As we get closer to the coming of the Lord, the false teachers, the false prophets, the false gospel, the false propaganda, it's just going to get worse and worse. And maybe the reason it gets worse and worse is because of the way they can get it out. For thousands of years or hundreds or however long, you know, people's been in thousands, I would say, but even since we've had this Bible in our language for the hundreds of years that we've had the Bible in the English language, can I tell you, preachers have been preaching that that day would come, and did they have any idea how true it was? That there would come a day where people would walk around with a phone in their pocket that they could, that those false prophets could propagate their message through all day, any day. Never been a time like today. Through YouTube, through TikTok, through Facebook, through Instagram, through all these other avenues, these false prophets have a way of propagating their message. And so we need to be aware. He said, beware of false prophets. And so, number one, we see the warning of false prophets. And we could go on and on with verses about the amount of them. We see the warning. Number two, I want to look at this, the wiles of false prophets. Pastor talked about wiles this morning of the devil. Well, can I tell you, his messengers, his prophets, they're kind of wily as well. They have some tricks up their sleeve. And so we see here some of the wiles of these false prophets. Look at verse number 15 again. I'll give you one of the wiles of them, their approach. Their approach. Look at verse 15. Beware of false prophets. Look at this. Which come to you. Which come to you. They're coming to you. Did you catch that? They're coming to you. Those false prophets are not going to wait for you to come to them. They're coming to you. They're coming to me. They want to get... They're wolves. We'll see that here in a minute. We see their wiles, and it talks about approach. I was talking about 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 6 says this, "For of this sort," after it talks about having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, "from such turn away," it goes on in verse 6 and says this, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses, they're sneaky. You know, I think when this, if you would have read this 20, 30 years ago, you would have thought about maybe a Jehovah's Witness knocking on your door, right? Maybe you would have thought about a Mormon riding a bicycle up and knocking on your door and trying to come into your house, and they were doing that, and not just them. I'm okay, right? You're okay for me to say that. They're false prophets. They're propagating a false gospel. And so they creep into houses, and for many years, no doubt, preachers preached it. They're going to come, and they're going to knock on your door, and they're going to try to come into your house. But can I tell you, they got a new avenue now. It's called a cell phone. It's called the internet. It's called YouTube. They don't have to come in and sit down beside you. No, they can sit down right in front of you in your bedroom while you lay in your bed and scroll through your phone, and they're creeping into houses. He said, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. You know, the Bible always is right. God knew this day was coming. Paul might not have understood it when the inspiration of the Holy Spirit had him write it. But can I tell you, the Holy Spirit that laid it on his heart knew good and well that we were going to be living in 2024 and we would have cell phones and they would have access to creep into our houses. And the Bible says they creep into houses and they lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away of diverse lust. You say, that offends me, Brother David. Well, I didn't say it. The Bible did. And I don't think that word silly means exactly what we think it means. See, we take that as an insult, and it could be a little bit of an insult, but I don't think it's necessarily an insult. It's an explanation. It's saying they don't understand, they don't know, and these false prophets will creep in, and they'll feed that message to those women, and they'll lead them astray. And so be careful. Be careful about what you watch. Be careful about who you listen to. Because there's false prophets everywhere. There's a great amount of them. The Bible's very clear of that. And so we see their approach. Jude said it like this in Jude verse 4. He said, for there are certain men crept in unawares. They're sneaky. These wolves. And I'm hoping this will keep y'all engaged tonight. You'll remember this message. You don't remember what I preached on, you'll remember. He preached on wolves. I don't know what he said anything other than that, but he kept making some crazy sound, right? And it didn't sound nothing like a wolf. It sounded like a hound dog, right? He's trying to tree a bear somewhere, a fox, I don't know. Whatever they do. What they do, they don't tree them. They tree a bear, a coon. They get a fox in a hole. What do they call that, Dan? Chase a fox, that's right. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm chasing a rabbit, right? The wolves don't chase rabbits, do they? They chase sheep, all right? But I'm not a wolf. I'm a hound dog, I think. I don't know. Anyway, great day. My mind's wandering now. I said, I'm nothing but a hound dog. See, I'm just keeping y'all with me tonight. I'm just trying my best to keep you with me, right? Are you with me? You okay? All right, so we see their approach. They creep in. Paul talked about it in Acts when he said, after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in, right? In 1 Peter, Peter said, there be false prophets and false teachers among you. He shall privately shall be bring in damnable heresies. They're not going to do it out in public. They're going to do it in private. And I think they'll come into the church and try to do it. But I just, as I was studying for this, I could not help but think about how applicable it is today, because they can get into that cell phone, they can make their little videos, and I see them and you see them. Right. And you know what? It's private. Privately. Privately, they come in. They creep in unaware. Sounds good. They use scripture. They've got a Bible. But they're false prophets. And Jesus said, you better beware. He's talking about the danger of false prophets, the warning, then the wiles, their approach. He talks about their appearance. Look at it, verse 15. He says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. They come to you in sheep's clothing. They may look like you look. They may dress like you dress. They're not going to come to you looking like a wolf. No, they're going to come to you looking like a sheep. They want you to accept them. They want you to listen to them. They want you to give them ear. And so they will sneak in and they will creep in and they will look how they have to look to get your attention. And you know what? As I was preparing this, and I may say a little word about it here in a minute, if we're not careful, and we're just this way, I'm this way, I believe you're probably this way. If we're not careful, we like to make everybody that we want be wolves. I could easily do that with this text. I could come in here and I could preach, this is a wolf, and this is a wolf, and this is a wolf. And I've heard some preaching where that's what they were talking about. This is a wolf. But you know what it was? It was what they didn't like and what they didn't agree with. That made this person a wolf. I'm going to try to stay right in the Bible and show you what Jesus said was a wolf. And so that wolf, he'll come in looking like a sheep. And if he comes into this church, he'll probably come in looking like I look. But he might walk into another church where they don't dress the way we dress. He'll dress like they dress, but he's still a wolf in sheep's clothing. You say, you mean there's sheep that dress like we, that don't dress like we dress? Yeah, there's sheep that dress like we don't dress. See, some people will say, well, they're a wolf. just because they don't dress the way I dress. That's not a wolf. But a wolf will come into any congregation, into any community, into any church, and they'll try to look like that church. They'll try to look like those people. They'll try to make themselves one of them so they'll accept them, so that they can do what they're there to do. He talks about their appearance. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15 says, "For such are false apostles." I believe Pastor quoted this verse this morning. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers," listen to it, "transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." And no marvel. He said, don't let that surprise you. "For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness." If Satan will transform himself into an angel of light, if he'll come looking like someone that's righteous, why would his ministers not do the same? They will. And so we've got to be aware. The wiles, their approach, their appearance. Number three. The ways or the works of false prophets. I think this is where we're going to begin to, you say, "Well, Brother David, I understand there's a danger. False prophets are out there. They're everywhere. They're on the internet. They're coming into churches. They're knocking on doors. They're handing out literature. So I understand, but how do I know who they are? How do I know you're not a wolf?" I mean, I sound like one. Somebody could at least said amen. I'm going to have to go back and listen to this. It's going to probably embarrass me. I might not be at church Wednesday. If I'm not here Wednesday night, it's probably not because I'm sick. It's because I'm embarrassed, okay? I went back and listened to this, and I heard my wolf howl and couldn't show my face anymore. If my family's not here, it's because they're embarrassed. If I'm by myself, it'll be because they're embarrassed and not me, okay? But how do we know a wolf? How do we define a wolf? Well, we can define them, Jesus says, by their works or by their ways. And as I said, I'm going to try to just stay right in what Jesus said. I don't want to give you what I say. Because I could give you all kinds of ways to define a wolf, but what does Jesus say about defining a wolf? Well, number one, he says you can know them by their appetite. By their appetite. You say, where do you see that? Look at verse 15. He said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." I don't know about you, but when I think of inwardly and a wolf, I think of an appetite. That's all a wolf thinks about. It's food. Where can I get my next meal? And so when he says inwardly, Brian, you a wolf, man? Stuck on Brian Wolf. If you could have seen the look on his face, he was like, "You attacking me, man?" Inwardly. They're ravening wolves, their appetite. What is it that drives them? What is it that motivates them? I think you can tell something about a false prophet by his appetite. What it is that drives him, what motivates him. If you would, turn to Matthew 23 real quick. Matthew 23. We could go many places, but I'm only going to have you turn in Matthew, and then we're going to come right back. Matthew 23. Verse 14 says this. I think this is what I believe, okay? And I've been saying this from the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, so I had no problem saying this. I think Jesus is the main point. I think Jesus' message, the Word of God, is alive. It's a wonderful book. It applies in so many areas. But I believe the main point of this message, Jesus is exposing the false religion of the scribes and the Pharisees, and he's letting these people know that I have come not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill the law and the prophets. And unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into heaven. And so Jesus is exposing that false religion of the scribes and the Pharisees. And I think that false religion is an umbrella that covers many false religions. But Jesus is, I think that he could have in mind, even here when he says, beware of false prophets, to those people. Now, in our day, it applies differently because the word of God is applicable for every day. That's how God's word is. It's alive. But in that day, I believe Jesus was talking about these scribes and these Pharisees. He's saying, beware of them. They're false prophets. Really, inwardly, they're ravening wolves. Look at what he says about them in Matthew chapter number 23. Look in verse number 14. He says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He's been calling them that during the Sermon on the Mount. You remember that, right? Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses. Sounds like what Paul was talking about in 1 Timothy. And for a pretense make long prayer, therefore you shall receive a greater damnation. Look down at verse number 25. He says this. He says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup. You look like a sheep on the outside. You with me? You make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. You know what that is? That word extortion, it means a desire for more. It's an appetite. They just want to get all they can get from those people. And Jesus said, I've got my eye on you. I know who you are. I know your kind. Sounds like to me the same people he's talking about in Matthew chapter number 7. He says, for you, he said, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward. You look like a sheep on the outside, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. You can go back to Matthew 7. I don't know about you. I'm sorry, that wasn't a wolf call. I had to clear my throat. That was the weakest wolf call. I'll probably go back and listen and think, man, that's the best wolf call I've done all night. Now you looking at me like that, Brian. I don't even know what I was talking about. Jesus is saying, these hypocrites, these scribes, these Pharisees, he says they're wolves. You know how you know? By their appetite. By their appetite. Can I tell you how you know a wolf in our day? And I'm almost done, okay? You know how you know a wolf in our day? What is it that drives them? What are they after? Followers? We're all after people, don't get me wrong. Our church is after people. But can I tell you, I sure am glad that our pastor isn't trying to get a platform and get a bunch of followers. Because that's what some false prophets are doing. They don't care about the flock. All they care about is their self. All they want is followers. All they want is clicks. All they want is for people to watch their reels and click on their YouTube page and like their message, because that's all they're after is themselves. They want to build their kingdom. They want to get all they can get. They want to gather all the money they can gather. And they're all over the place in our day. And I sure am glad that we have a pastor that is not a false prophet. He's preaching not for gain, not for what he can get, but for what he can give. Amen. But you know what false prophet? You know how you mark a false prophet? You know how you know a false prophet? It's all about him. He's the hero of every story. I sure am glad that our pastor don't get up and tell us how great he is every Sunday. There's a lot of preachers. You know what they do? They get on a pulpit. They get behind a pulpit and they stand on a platform. And all they do is tell you how great they are. I'm glad we got a preacher that gets up and tells you how great Jesus is. He's not the hero of every story. Jesus is. But there's a lot of preachers out there. You know who's the hero of every story? Not Jesus, them. Because that's all that drives them. That's all that motivates them. Their appetite is extortion. It's what can I get, not what can I give. And so watch out for them. They're everywhere. And they're sneaky. They're sneaky. You gotta beware. Because they'll sneak in privily. They'll creep in unaware. They'll look just like you. They'll talk just like you. They'll know the lingo. They'll know the message. But it's all about them. It's always about them. As soon as it ain't nothing in it for them, you know what they do? They're gone. because that's who it's about, is them. And so he talks about the appetite of a wolf. Not only that, he talks about, I believe he could be talking about, look at verse number 16. He says, "You shall know them by their fruits." He makes that statement twice. In verse 20, again, he says, "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." You know, there's a lot of discussion about what those fruits are, and I'm not going to go into great detail with that. But as I said, I read after, and I listened to some messages by some men, and I read after some men, and most everybody you read after, or most everybody you listen to, they want to make that fruit whatever they don't like. That's the fruit. They want to skew the fruit to fit their message or whatever they're presenting. I'm not going to try to do that. I'm going to give you what I think. I'm not saying it is. There's a lot of different opinions about what this fruit is speaking of, but I'm going to try to let the Bible define what the fruit is. I know one fruit that the Bible talks about, and that's the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians said the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's gentleness, it's long-suffering, it's meekness, and goes on down through that list of the fruit of the Spirit. And so when Jesus says, "By their fruits you shall know them," he could be talking about their attributes. He talked about their appetite, what they're after, what they want, how they want to build a following, how they want to make money, how they want to, hey, they want to get everybody to listen to them. But he also could be talking about their attributes. Their lifestyle. Are they proud? And we all got pride. Understand what I'm saying here. But can they never be questioned? They'll lose their temper. They're always right. They're full of pride. They don't love anyone but themselves. Wouldn't go out, wouldn't cross the street. They're like that Levite and that priest when that man was laying in the ditch. They looked at him and kept on going. Can I tell you, there's a lot of preachers out there like that. You do realize that, right? See, I think sometimes if we're not careful, you know what one of the worst, I shouldn't say, there's nothing bad about being in a good church. It's a great thing. But if we're not careful, you know what? We'll forget. We'll have it so good. We'll have it so good, we'll forget what other people go through. There's many preachers out there. They wouldn't dare, you know, finish what they're doing to go. I'm gonna tell you this. Listen, I'm gonna do this because I believe God's leading me to. Or I'm just feeling like the Holy Spirit wants me to. We're blessed. I can tell you right now, I can't tell you the times I've been on vacation with my preacher and he's came home. Came home early from vacation. Why? Because he cares about people. Ain't about him. I can remember one year in particular where we get packed up and left early. I think we did. I think I rode home with him. Or maybe he did. I don't know. But he would do it in a heartbeat. He's done it for some of you. And I'm not, this isn't brag on the preacher night. I'm just saying, I'm glad that we got a preacher that ain't a false prophet. Because there's a lot of them out there. They don't care about nobody but themselves. But the attributes of these preachers. There's one preacher, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I'm just feeling like saying some things. I think I said this when I was preaching through Peter and 2 Peter chapter number 2. But I'm going to say it again because he's out there and he's got a lot of following. But can I tell you, I'm convinced that Greg Locke is a false prophet. If you don't know who he is, then don't even go look him up. But if you do know who he is, you know what he's about himself. He's about building his platform. If you cross him, he'll cuss you out. Because he doesn't have the attributes that I'm talking about here. He has the attributes of a false prophet. And there's many others. He's just one that's well known. And they're all over the place. And eventually their fruit will tell on them. Jesus said, "By their fruit ye shall know them." You stick around long enough, you're going to figure them out. Whether they're real or not. Whether it's about them or not. Whether they have love, whether they have peace, whether they have joy, whether they are long-suffering, whether they have meekness, their attributes. So it talks about, I think, one, it could be talking about the attributes. Number two, I think it could be talking about their audience or their associates or their admirers or their effect. You say, what do you mean, Brother David? You know what fruit is? When we talk about fruit, sometimes fruit is what we bear. You know how you can tell a false prophet a lot of times? By who associates with him. Who admires him. That's his fruit. You with me? And I'm not saying, you say, Brother David, I thought Matthew chapter 7 verse 1 says, judge not that you be not judged. We talked about that when we were looking at it. That ain't what Jesus was talking about. We better be judging. Beware means judge. You better beware. That means you better judge, because there's false prophets out there. And so that judge not don't work here. And sometimes you can look at a false prophet, you can look at who follows him, the fruit that he's bearing. And I understand, you know what, we're not a perfect church by no means. And I mean that with everything in me. But I believe this, I believe there's a group of people here tonight that by the grace of God want to serve God and want to do right. You know what that is? That's fruit. That's fruit. But false prophets, you know what kind of fruit they got? They got the same kind of fruit they are. Every now and then they'll deceive one or two. But most of the time, it ain't going to be long before somebody that's discerning is going to say, I'm not following that one. And so you can tell them by their attributes. You can tell them by their audience, by their associates, by their admirers, by the effect that they have on people. People will begin to act like them. You hang around them long enough, you begin to act like them. And so he talks about the works of the false prophets. And last, he talks about the wages of a false prophet. I shut my Bible. I shouldn't have. Look at verse number 19 and I'm going to close. Verse number 19 says this, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Say, what are the wages of a false prophet? Annihilation. Annihilation. You read in 2 Peter chapter number 2, when Peter's talking about those false prophets, you know what he says? They're going to be destroyed. And I'm not glad about that, but I'm just telling you this. God knows. God's keeping the record. We may not always know. They're sneaky. They'll creep in unaware. We may not always be able to figure them out. Can I tell you, there's one in heaven. He knows who they are. He knows what their appetite is. He knows their attributes. He knows what they're after. He knows everything about them. And one day, he's going to deal with them. The danger of false prophets. Beware. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. I want to howl, but I'm not going to. Nah. You can stand to your feet. I hope this is a help to somebody. I tried to stay in the Bible. I really did. I tried to give you what God gave me. I could have went many different directions and tried to make this group and this crowd and these people false prophets, but I don't think that's what Jesus was talking about. Not everybody that doesn't believe the way we believe are wolves. Okay? Not everybody that doesn't do church the way we do church are wolves. But can I tell you, there are wolves in our churches, in their churches, in every church. The devil's got wolves that are trying to come in, and they're trying to, you know, ravening wolves. I meant to say that. I think I had it in my notes. You know that word ravening? If you look it up in the Greek, that word is where we get our word rape. They just want to go take something. And they don't care what they got to do to take it. They don't care who they have to hurt, because it's all about them. And they're all over the place. And so watch out for them. Beware of false prophets. I believe personally that Jesus was mainly talking about those scribes and those Pharisees. They were false prophets. They were propagating, I think, a false gospel, a works salvation. And Jesus said, hey, you better beware of them. You better watch them. They've got an agenda, and it's not about me, it's about them. And so we need to beware of them. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to have the pianist begin to play. Thank you for your attention tonight. I don't know how you respond to a message like that. If God's spoken to your heart and you just need God to give you wisdom, maybe you come down and you ask God, God, help me to beware. Help me to pay attention. As pastor's been preaching, I told you I felt like my message was going to go right along with what pastor's been preaching. I sure am glad we got a shepherd. Because if it wasn't for the shepherd, I can tell you right now, the wolves would have been done got me.